Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY 2023 earnings conference call of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amar Yarade from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you all for the Q4 and FY 2023 earnings conference call of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited. To discuss this quarter and full year business performance, we have from the management Mr. Hitesh Mehta, Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Abhishek Parikh, Group Finance Controller, Mr. Rohit Wade, General Manager, Investor Relations, and other management team as well on the call. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to management for the opening comments, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Hitesh, sir.
Thank you. Hi, good morning, everyone. Myself, Hitesh Mehta. I would like to welcome you all for the first earnings call of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited to discuss the Q4 and FY 2023 financial performance. I would like to extend my gratitude to everybody who have taken time to attend this call and have constantly been a part of our journey. Also, I am pleased to welcome everyone who is looking at our company for the first time. I have along with me Mr. Abhishek Parikh, who is our Group Financial Controller, Mr. Rohit Wade, our General Manager, Investor Relations, and Mr. Sunil Rathi, he is a Non-Executive Director on the company. Before I start the business update, I would like to take this opportunity to formally introduce the company to all the participants. The company was incorporated initially as a Sangam Advisors, and then we have changed the name to Sangam Renewable Limited in May 2018. Later, we changed this name to Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited in July 2021. Waaree Renewable Technologies is a subsidiary company of the Waaree Energies, which is the holding company of Waaree Group, and this is mainly into the business of the EPC. We are technically advanced end-to-end EPC solution provider that finance, construct, own, and operate solar projects. The company operating across the geography strategically targets the long-term investment within the commercial and the industrial customer segment. The main purpose of the company is to tap the growing renewable energy market. Starting with our order book position, we have an unexecuted order book of 817 MW in the quarter as on today. To achieve the stated net zero carbon emission goals, it is crucial to embrace green hydrogen on a global scale. The National Green Hydrogen Mission, which has been approved by the Union Cabinet, is a significant step in this direction. With an allocation of approximately 20,000 crore, the mission aims to produce 5 million tons of green hydrogen every year by 2030. We have won a contract to set up a 1 MW green hydrogen plant, which align with our plans to explore new opportunity in the green hydrogen projects. We have an unexecuted order book of 817 MW as on today. We hope to continue this momentum in the FY 2024, and we have a bid pipeline of approximately 3 GW over the next 12 months period. In terms of the outlook, we are witnessing encouraging trend driven by the continued decline in the solar module price and a favorable regulatory environment. The Indian market is positioned favorably with a noticeable surge in ordering momentum. One significant development is the government's recent decision to exempt the ongoing solar project from the mandatory requirement of procuring the module solely from the approved list of the module manufacturer, which is the ALMM, for a period of 1 year. This decision is expected to alleviate the constraint associated with the local module availability and boost the on-ground project execution. It is worth noting that India's ambitious target of reducing the carbon intensity by over 45% and achieve 50% renewable electricity by 2030 necessitates an accelerated pace of project execution, making this even more crucial. Now I would like to take you through the consolidated financials highlights for the quarter and the FY23. In quarter four of FY23, we have recorded a revenue of 61.5 crores, and for the full year FY23, we recorded a revenue of 351 crores as compared to 161.5 crores in FY22, representing a year-on-year a growth of 117%. For the full year, EBITDA was 83.7 crores as compared to 23.5 crores in FY22, and the EBITDA margin was at 24% as compared to 15% in FY22. We feel that we will continue this momentum in FY24. In Q4 of FY23, our net profit after tax was 12 crores as compared to 6.8 crores in Q4 of FY22, representing a growth of 81%. The full year FY23 profit after tax was 55.3 crores. Now we open the floor for the questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Apurva Bahadur from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you spoke about the lifting of the ALMM mandate for Pioneer, also the declining imported module prices. Now, would be interesting to know your thoughts.
Mr. Bahadur, sorry, can you use your handset mode and be a bit louder, please?
Yes, I am using the handset mode. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yes.
So just wanted to know your thoughts on this government policy of delaying the implementation of ALMM, given that you are on the both sides of the equation, right? So you are the largest module manufacturer as well. Also, there were discussions around a possible reduction in the BCD for modules. So how do you see this playing out, and what do you think will be more beneficial, right, to take advantage of the declining polysilicon prices, or to go ahead full steam with domestic self-sufficiency even at a higher cost?
So thank you very much for the same. I think on the second part of your question, the MNRE has already clarified that there is no intention for the reduction of the duty from 40% to 20%, which there was a rumor going on for last 2-3 days, but since we received the clarification from the MNRE, I think now it has been settled down. On the first part of your question, on the ALMM side, I think the intention of the government is basically their target for the 2030, which they intend to achieve a 500 gigawatt by 2030. That is what the target for the government for the renewable energy, which includes the wind as well as the solar. And I think the government has given the relaxation for the 1 year for this particular, which will enhance definitely the more and more people will now go for the execution of their orders, which is pending.
Sir, also on the second phase of the PLI bids, right, we saw that there was a reduction in the competitive intensity versus the first phase. What could this be attributed to?
So I think there was a sufficient participation from the people also. It's not that there is a reduction. Find the number of the applicants where the has been reduced, but overall, if you see, there is a bit of the interest from the people, even in the second PLI.
Okay, understood. Sir, lastly, if I may ask on this, the corporate and industrial market, how large of an opportunity do you see this to be? What could be the annual offtake over here?
I'll ask my colleague Abhishek to reply on this.
Yeah. Hi, Abhishek this side. So, I believe we are looking forward to have an understanding or market outlook on the C&I sector. That's been onto discussions quite a lot. So, we've seen a huge, uptick in the demand side of C&I sector, given the fact that the government has been pushing, very hard, every now and then for corporates to adopt and, accelerate their move towards the carbon net zero and the ESG goals. So looking at that, we believe this market can, can somewhere be a gigawatt plus of installations within the C&I itself. And the overall installations last this year were close to 14 odd gigawatts. We are really expecting this number also to go beyond 20 odd gigawatts taken together the C&I sector as well as the utility scale of market.
Okay, understood. Mr. Mehta, one last question if I may, and this is on the polysilicon capacity in the country. While both the phases had certain players bidding for end-to-end integrated capacity development, I don't believe any of the orders have been placed, right, for setting up polysilicon capacity. Why do you think that, what's different with polysilicon? Is it too complicated a process, or is it something that the domestic players don't really want to venture into?
So I think it's not about the complexity. I think we are in the country who has a good amount of the knowledge on the political side also. And I think the people have applied for the PLI and they will definitely go for this maybe in next 6 months to a year time. So people are working on activities for the polysilicon projects and deal with their plans probably in next 6 months to 1 year time.
Okay, sir. Understood. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
We can hear you, but please be louder.
Yeah. Thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. So just I wanted to understand first up, in terms of per megawatt, the order book that we have. So what is generally the per megawatt cost that is involved? And from that cost, what is our revenue share that we generally supply?
So it depends upon the requirement of the customer, I think. So there are some orders where you require to do the complete EPC, including the module, and there are some orders where the module will be supplied by the customer and we will do the balance of the engineering. So in that case, to decide on the per megawatt price is a bit difficult. Hence, we generally announce for the whatever the megawatt of the order what we receive.
Okay, understood. But generally, there is some range that we can talk about, maybe 1 to 3 crores or in that range is what generally...
So depending surely on the pricing going on at present, so depending also mainly on the module price and the commodity price, it is ranging, the per megawatt price will be ranging anywhere between 3.5 to 4 crore rupees.
3.5 to 4 crores rupees. Per megawatt.
Yeah.
Okay. But last year we did about 300 megawatt of EPC, right? And in that EPC project, and our revenue was close to about 350 crores. So that per megawatt comes to about 1.25 crores.
So, maybe around 85-90% of the project was not including the module.
Correct.
Hence, the revenue you find is around... the 350 crore rupees.
Okay, and then the order book that we have, so can you provide some more details of this 817 megawatts, so how much percentage would be pure play EPC and how much percentage would include the modules or the component as well?
So I don't have the figure right now available with me, but surely we can provide you the details.
Okay, A rough percentage also, I mean, some understanding if we can have, not the exact figure I was looking at, maybe about 40-50% is EPC or more than that.
60-70% I think will be without module.
Without module. Okay, fair enough. I understood. And what sort of execution we are looking at in FY24 out of this 817 megawatt that we have?
So hopefully all the projects will be executed as per the contract in next 12 to 15 months time. So
okay.
we'll try to do it in the 12 months time.
So this 800 megawatt we might be looking to do execute over next 12 months, right?
Yeah, make 12 to 15 months. That is what the contract is.
Understood. And when we take this order, so what is the benchmark or a threshold margins that we kind of look into, or whenever we bid, this is the bare minimum margins that we kind of look for in while bidding.
So basically, you know about the competition which is good there in the market, but we always try to take the maximum out of it. So it's not something which is pre-decided that we'll earn the X margin.
Correct.
On the particular order.
Correct. No, yeah. So even if I see last 3-4 quarters, our margins have been quite volatile, right? Even it has been as low as 10% to as high as 48-50%. So to have an understanding, what should be
that is mainly on account of the, I think, the change in the commodity price also and change in the module price also. Hence, there is a, you see the volatility in the margin.
But what should be, sustainable basis, what should one can ideally look at? I mean, some range, is a sustainable range for us?
I think anything between the 15 to 25%, you can say, will be the sustainable margin.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. That's quite helpful, sir. Yep. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer queries from all participants, please restrict your questions to 2 at a time. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. We have our next question from the line of Vikram from Niveshai Investment Advisors. Please go ahead. Also, please use your handset.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I want to, if I calculate EBITDA per megawatt for the last year, this is around 27 lakh per megawatt. So if I think in terms of megawatt, what can be sustainable per megawatt EBITDA for our business?
See, we were doing this business for last 1.5 years or 2 years maximum, and we are profitable and we will try to maintain momentum going forward also.
So, sir, there is any difference in per megawatt EBITDA for like large projects like 200 megawatt plus and small project like 5-7 megawatt projects?
Yeah,
and sir, what can be and what can be risk included in this? Like, okay, suppose we have seen in this Sterling Wilson, they had huge losses in past due to commodity price fluctuation. So same kind of risk we have or we don't have? Like how I look at this?
Yeah, I'll ask Abhishek to reply for this. Abhishek.
Thank you. So on your first question on the difference of, typically the margins between order sizing between 5, 7, 10 megawatts and orders up 150 to 200 on megawatt kind of size. So largely, when you are supplying to a small setup, C&I sector, when the overall turnaround of a project is between 1 to 2 months, definitely you are, the exposure to the commodity price and other risks is much limited. And being a retail supplier, that leaves some more edge for a little bit higher margins. And on larger projects, it's when we bid, it's more of a supply chain that enables the profitability of any project of a large scale size, which ranges between 12 months to 15 months, and then the rule of commodity. So if I have to conclude it, we can always say that smaller projects may have a more certainty and margin on the profit and the margins because of less exposure to the time and commodity risk compared to a larger risk. So that's an answer to your first question. The second question on the risk side, the kind of competitors you named right here. So instead of committing anything onto that, we would restrict ourselves in in saying that we are kind of, our kind of, business that we have been akin to and we have been doing in the past. We are very cautious while bidding also. And, we are very selective in the kind of customers and the kind of projects and risks that we take. So, basis our appetite of a business, we really, try to limit our risk exposures. And, we are not very keen to take on very, very high risky projects.
Okay. So, in with module projects, we have limited risk, right?
Sorry?
In with module projects, we have limited risk. So when customers apply module to us.
So in that case, basically the risk of module price stays with the customers and all kind of risk gets limited to the BOS supply only, balance of supply only other than module. So yes, commodity risk reduces to some extent. Yeah. And profit also goes up.
Okay. And sir, what is last question? What is breakup of private and government orders? And I think we have maximum order book from private players. So why we don't take government orders? Any specific reason?
We are bidding for the orders, but then generally we do more on the private side than on the government side. So as of today, you can say around 85% of the projects are from the private side, and maybe around 15% of the project for the government. But we always take care while bidding that in case if the payment terms is on the negative side, then generally we don't go for that particular project. So we always go for the positive cash flow. That is what the principle of the company is.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have a next question from the line of Ankur Kumar from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question and congrats for a good year. So my question, first question is on the raw material, as in margin volatility. So we do not book our raw material in advance. So hence margin is volatile. Should I contribute that, sir? Because last year, their quarters have been quite volatile in terms of margins.
So it's not only because of the pricing of the commodity also, but it is because the nature of the EPC contract is. So it's not that you can book everything in the same quarter, which is having the higher margin. So depending upon the work, what we commit, the margin we will book. So depending on, you will find some volatility on a quarter-to-quarter basis, depending upon the different execution of the contract, what we do.
Got it, sir. And sir, in terms of seasonality, how should we think about it? As in, which quarters are tend to be good, better quarters and which are tend to be worse quarters?
I think other than the rainy seasons, where there will be some slowdown on the work, the rest of the quarter will be the similar.
Got it, sir. And sir, in terms of fixed asset, we see there is a massive jump. So can you please comment on that? Please, there is a big capital work in progress.
So we are doing some IPP projects also now. Hence, there is this particular the work in progress which is there, and even there is a higher amount of the fixed assets which you are seeing.
Got it, sir. Sir, one last question. You said our margin for the order book of 817 megawatt, we can assume 15% to 25% margin from that order book.
So that's the range what we follow. That is what I'm saying.
Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Sandeep Agarwal from Naredi Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Mr. Agarwal.
Thank you for the opportunity. Question is with the order book.
So we are not able to hear you clearly. Please use your handset.
Yeah, I'm doing. I'm using handset.
But
clear?
Not audible.
Not really. I think your network is not strong.
Hello.
Yes. Go ahead now.
Yeah. So my question is regarding the unexecuted order book. So what is the revenue term we will expect in 12 to 15 months?
So we need to work on this because there will be, as I said, that around 60 to 70% of the product is order is without module and the rest is with module.
Yeah.
So we'll give the exact numbers on the order book. But the
maybe,
Yeah, please.
Yeah, do any range between 1000 crore to 1200 crore or something?
So I have given you on the percentage wise around 60-70% is without module and the rest is with module.
Okay. So my next question is regarding the competitive intensity in this sector. You have to compete with very good large players. So what is your plan and how to target the market and in a specific market segment you...
I think what we feel is the market is sufficiently available for all the people who are there in the competitions. So we don't feel heat of the competition basically. And generally we are looking at the segment which is the rooftop market, C&I segment, residential segment, and we are also looking at the utility scale project also in India as well as the outside India.
Okay. So what is your capex plan for the financial year 24-25?
So we are not much investing basically onto the IPP business, but surely we are doing some of the projects where we see there is a good margin available and the good IRR available.
Okay. So you any, just any amount, specific amount?
So I think as such, whatever the project you have in hand, I think what you see in the capital work in progress, other than this, we are not intent to do much of the project on our balance sheet.
Okay. So my last question is regarding the bidding pipeline and expected order we get in financial year 24.
So the bidding pipeline, as I said, is around 3 gigawatt.
Okay. So what is the success rate? As for the past experience?
We expect probably minimum 35 to 40% the conversion in the out of this.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rishikesh Oza from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity. So when we say our order book, you know, is around 800 megawatt and around 12 to 15 months of execution, where 70% of order book is without module. So if you make a broad calculation with the per range for both the without module and with module, so fair to say that we can do like approximately 900 to 1000 crores of revenues for FY24.
So I have not worked out the actual number, but maybe on the basis of what I have said, what you have calculated should be right. So I am not confirming this, but as I said that with the module the cost is anywhere between 3.5 to 4 crore rupees and the without module the cost will be anywhere between 1.25 to 1.50 crore rupees.
Okay, okay, got it. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, all that depends upon the location and the scope of the project also.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, in other financial liability of 2956 crore you shown as a 31st March 23 versus 1 crore in 31st March 22. So what is the difference of that amount?
Which you are saying?
Other financial liabilities or balance sheet?
Which is 20 crore rupees, right?
29 crore. 21.6... 29 crore.
Yes, 1 minute.
29.56.07. And earlier year it was 102.32 crore. This is the balance sheet item you see in the balance sheet. Consolidated balance sheet.
So, this is mainly on account of the outstanding relating to the capital good, which is the amount to be payable.
Capital goods, you paid advance payment?
No, this is not the advance payment. This is amount to be paid.
Payment if you give, then it will come in asset side.
Yeah. This is, I'm saying this is payable. This is not paid.
Payable. Okay.
Yes.
And second, you opt for 1 megawatt green hydrogen plant. How much it cost and what is this? Can you say 2 words on this matter?
So I think this is the first project which has been awarded to, I think, any of the player in the India as of today. So this we have received from the government.
Few words from you.
Maharashtra only, and we are working on the other things now on the cost side and the margin side. So we'll come back with you on this particular. So as of today, I don't have any reply on the cost side for this particular project.
Thank you. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. We have a next question from the line of Kanav Garg from Garg Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, I'm looking at the order book that you have, and I think we have orders ranging from 6.5 to 222 megawatts. So do we have any preference of what type of or the minimum size that we bid for?
I'll ask Abhishek to reply to you.
Abhishek. So basically, if you see the order book range, you know, it ranges right from 5 megawatt goes up beyond 200 megawatts. So the message is clear. We are really to all sort of customer set that we have been catering to, and we continue to do that. So you may continue to have some few large orders and few some main sector C&I specific customers, but the common in all these orders would be the niche segment that we cater to, wherein the project should be cash positive. So that's what.
Okay, thank you, sir. So my second question is, I was listening to one of the competitors' call, that is Adani Green. So they have clearly said that they won't be now competitively bidding for large projects, right? So does it reduce competitive intensity for us? Yeah. So my second question was, I was listening to one of your large competitors' conference call, that is Adani Green. So they have clearly said that they won't be bidding aggressively for EPC projects, right? And they are the largest players, right? So they were just trying to understand, have you seen any reduction in competitive intensity in larger projects?
So not really. I cannot comment on the any of the other players, but I think there is a sufficient market which is available for everyone.
Okay, so you mean to say that there is no change in competitive intensity and we have a lot of large landscape available?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thanks a lot for answering my questions.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Mayur Liman from ProfitMart Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Mayur Liman, please go ahead with your question. Since there is no response, we'll move on to the next question from the line of Girish Gupta, a CA. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, sir. I am audible?
Yes.
I have many questions, but you have given the answer of the question. But I have only two questions. Whether there is any reverse merger plan with the parental company in your mind, or you will give a separate IPO of the Vare Engineers? And the second one is, you, whether you have any plan to list on the NSE?
So we cannot comment on the first question of your this. It will depend upon definitely the consultant and whatever the advice we received from the all the experts. And on the second question, yes, we intend to list on the NSE at the earliest, depending upon their regulations.
Okay, sir. Sir, can you give little bit of highlight on the hydrocarbon project which you have 1 megawatt, which you have been in the tender? Can you highlight something on this? Because this is a very big opportunity, I think, in the years to come.
So I think this is the first project what has been awarded in India, and so as such we are working on this. We don't have any further details available on this, so we'll come back to you once we finish our work on this.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Karan Sanwal from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I wanted to understand that going forward, would we be able to execute around 2-3 gigawatt of orders in a year? Like right now, we are having an order book of 800, and you are telling that we will be able to execute around execute those orders in around 10-15 months. So in future, would we be able to execute more orders by 2-3 gigawatt?
So we have a team available, and we are, I think, competent enough to whatever the execution is there, whether it's a 2 gigawatt or a 3 gigawatt or even more than that. So this should not be a problem. So depending upon the whatever the contract we have with the customer, we'll be able to execute the orders.
Great. That helps. Thank you so much for that. And I wanted to understand that what would be the execution timeline for the green hydrogen project that we have?
So maybe Abhishek will reply on this.
Yeah, so currently we have around 18 to 24 odd months kind of a time to execute the entire project. So team are deployed, we are working on it, but we have a good amount of time to complete the project.
Okay, okay. And one last question. So I wanted to understand what would be the margin differential of two projects. Like you mentioned that there is a project with module and there is a project without module. So is there any margin differential that you could highlight so it would give us more clarity on the order book that we have?
So though this is a bit dicey, why? Because when you do project with the module, you also run through the additional risk of a commodity module, which is around the 2x of the other part of the project. So that way, yes, you are exposed to a larger risk, but then there is an opportunity to earn a little extra pie than the BOS projects. So difficult to give exact number on the difference of margin, but certainly there is an opportunity and upside to have some additional margin if you have modules as well in the books.
Okay, thank you so much for the opportunity and all the best for the next year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Amit Chautia from World Foods LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, I wanted to ask you what would be some of the challenges when we are scaling up so fast and this being kind of a service industry? Could you highlight some of these challenges?
So challenges will be there on the part of the executions, and we need to work hard on the execution side, and we need to require the more and more skilled manpower for the execution. So I think that is the main challenges. Other than this, we don't see any challenges for this.
All right. And your presentation also talks about some new technology for battery storage, a 600 kilowatt project that you did. Could you explain some of what this project is about?
Just a moment. Yeah, hello. So the battery basically is not covered in this company. So I think this is to be handled by the different company only. So we don't have any more details available for this particular project as of today.
Okay.
Are you through with your question, Mr. Chautia?
Yes, I'll come back. I'll join the queue.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nitin from KIFS Trade Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Are there planning of a parent company to go public? And what is the time frame? If at all, if you have planned.
Basically, this call is for renewable technology. We'll have a separate call for the Waaree Energies also, and we'll reply to all the questions relating to the Waaree Energies in that call.
I was just intending to know, plan to go on, yes or no, that's all.
Surely we'll go with the public.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Mayur Liman from ProfitMart Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Now I am audible?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Good morning, all. Thank you for the opportunity and the congratulations on a good set of numbers. I just want to ask or need a guidance from the. We see the opportunity in the green hydrogen business, and what kind of step or resources is needful for the entering into the green hydrogen business, and what kind of initiatives we are taking towards in this segment.
Yeah, Abhishek will reply for this question.
Abhishek? Basically green hydrogen is something that has taken recently, and there's an ample of opportunity for all to, you know, to launch, you know, from their side. So we have, already taken up a 1 megawatt project on the green hydrogen side, and we are looking forward for a successful accomplishment, and this is going to be a pilot project also from our side. So we find this opportunity to be very, very large in terms of the plans that we have. Government has also laid down our intent of, you know, producing 5 million tons of green hydrogen by 2030, and that leaves a point that there's a huge opportunity. I think all we need to do is scale up and acquire the required skill set to scale onto this business, and we strive to do that. Hence, we have taken up this pilot project also. So, very, very large pie. There are a lot many people, there, entities who are intending to go ahead. Whomsoever can scale up early and fast could be one of the lead runner in that.
Okay, sir. And my next question on the lithium side, do we make the lithium batteries or any kind of battery product which use the lithium in the product?
So we do make, surely we are into the lithium batteries, but again not in this company, that we do through the other company.
Okay, sir. Sir, and my last question is, the how do you see the financial year 2024? What is your expectation from the next financial year, and what is the outlook for the next financial year?
So as I said, that we have a pipeline of around 3 gigawatt. We intend to convert probably around 35-40% of this, and we have an unexecuted order of around 817 megawatt, which we intend to finish in next 20 to 15 months time. So probably we'll do 100% better than what we have done in the FY23.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ankur Kumar from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes. Please go.
Yeah, just wanted to check whether the government is considering this import duty cut on solar panels. How is that going to impact us?
I think there is already a clarification from the MNRE side on this, that they are not intent to collect this particular duty.
Oh, okay, so there won't be any impact.
No, there won't be any.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay. Nothing else. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to constraint of time, that was the last question for today. I now hand over the call to Mr. Amar Yadi for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you, participants, for having us today. It has been a pleasure. If there are any further questions or queries that we have not been able to answer, please feel free to reach out to the Orient Capital team. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you. On behalf of RE Renewable Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you, everyone.